All right, so what I want to do for the next few weeks heading into our holiday season is to start getting prepared for the season. And typically around this time of year, we start talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas, getting prepared for the holidays coming up. But as everything is in 2020, this year is a little different. It's going to feel a little bit different, look a little different for some of us. I know that my wife and I, we've been discussing how different things are going to be for us as we've got to really make some changes. We're probably not going to be traveling quite as much. And so, you know, naturally the kids are kind of like, what are we going to do? And my mother, well, we were talking to my mom yesterday, just checking on her to see how she was feeling and how she was doing. And she was talking to the kids in the car. And she keeps asking the question. She's like, you need to hurry up. She's like, you need to tell me what it is the kids want for Christmas. And William, you know, he's like, okay, I'll let you know. And Kendall's still a little like, wait a minute. She's still at that age where she's 8 and she's still trying to decide whether to believe that Grandma's going to send her something or Santa Claus is going to send something. She's not quite there yet, but she understands. She knows. Right now they're just looking for the Christmas tree. But we think about how different things are going to be this year for the holidays. I want to get us prepared because in some ways we can kind of look at the outlook for the holidays and the fact that maybe some of us are not going to be able to go home for Christmas. Maybe some of us are not going to be able to spend time with certain family members, or we're not going to be able to travel like we normally would. And it can almost be a little bit, dare I say, depressing. It may feel a little bit down. It may make you feel a little bit sad and nostalgic. And yet, when we think about our God, who our God is, the amazing God that we serve, the loving God that each and every one of us has access to, I kind of want to put us in a different frame of mind, because sometimes it's in those moments and in those situations and circumstances where we're kind of expecting something that's going to be a negative or something that's going to be down, that's actually when God shows up. That's actually when God reveals himself to be the most powerful, the most loving, the most merciful. That's where he gets all the glory. And so I want us to think about as we prepare for this upcoming holiday season and how we're going to approach it, I want us to approach it from the standpoint of faith, believing that God is going to do something amazing. Let's face it, all of us need something to cheer us up, something to make 2020 feel like it isn't all bad, right? What better time for God to show up in your life and do something amazing than right now? So I want to talk about this, and we're going to talk about it because, well, first of all, because I'm hungry, and then also because I'm usually hungry when I come up here on Sunday, because I don't get the chance to eat. I don't get a chance to make the breakfast that I want to on Sunday. I like my sleep. But I want to talk about this from the standpoint of food, and I know it's going to make some of you happy. I know George is going to be happy to talk about food. He always likes to talk about food. So the title of the lesson today is fish food. I'm not saying that George is a fish. I'm just saying that George likes food, and we're going to talk about fish today, right? So fish food, and we're going to look at some stories about fish. Jesus talked a lot about fish. Now, when we think about the holidays and what we're preparing for, some of us, you know, this is what we come to expect. Now, we don't have this in our future in the Craig household unless we go to one of you guys' houses or something like that, because I'm just not, my culinary skills aren't quite up to this level. And since we're not going home, I don't know what we're going to do. Cherise is looking at me. We're kind of like, I don't know what's going to happen. Maybe we'll get some pre-made stuff. I'll try to do my famous Billy Craig cranberry sauce straight from a can, you know. You know, these expectations. We have these expectations sometimes, and frankly, let's be honest, sometimes we have expectations of God, if we're honest, we have expectations of God for years that don't always get met. We expect things to happen. We expect growth. We expect certain areas of our life to change. We give our lives to God. We say, I'm going to follow Christ. I'm going to live like Jesus. And we have this expectation. And, you know, it doesn't always work out like this, right? Our turkey doesn't always come out that perfect. The dressing doesn't always come out that perfect. And you, even if people were polite and they won't tell you, you can look at their faces and they'll let you know how your macaroni and cheese really came out. We have these expectations of God, and sometimes what we have to be willing to do is admit that our expectations haven't been met. We have to be willing to say, God, you know what? I'm tired. I'm struggling. I'm frustrated. I've been doing this thing on and again and again and again, and months have gone by and years have gone by and nothing has changed. What do we do about those unmet expectations? Well, you know, Jesus, a lot of times, he talked about fish. This guy, he looks a lot like the fish at my house. We have one of him. He's enormous. We've got some other little fish that clean up and do housekeeping. But this guy is really the only fish we have. And when I put food in the fish tank, it's really just for him, right? He's a big boy. He's been eating. And the thing is, Jesus talked a lot about fish, and he did this because he wanted to be relatable to the people that were around him, the people that he knew, the people that were, frankly, they were, many of them were fishermen. He tells a lot of fish stories. Now, next week we're going to talk about birds, but this week we're going to talk about fish because I want us to really think about fish and how, you know, even if we don't necessarily right now, people depended on fish to live. Those fishermen wasn't just a job. It wasn't just, you know, something that was, you know, they were hiring and they were paying, so they did it. No, fishermen were necessities back then. Because that's so much of what they ate. That's how they got their daily supply. And so, you know, it wasn't just, you know, like we have fish in our aquariums and our little fish bowls. No, they fished for their livelihoods. I had a friend of mine named Ali. He was a commercial fisherman for a long time. He would go out into the Pacific, be gone for days at a time, and all they're doing is hauling in giant loads of fish. And then they're going through processing and cutting all that kind of stuff. He said they ate very well, but it was very difficult work. You couldn't just be weak. You had to be really strong. Lots of long days. Fishermen mattered back then. I want to take us into the window of what it means to be a fisherman. But first, I want to look at a passage where Jesus does something that we're all going to expect to do over the holidays. He's going to talk about eating. Let's look over in Matthew chapter 15. Starting in verse 29, it says, Jesus left there and went along the Sea of Galilee. Then he went up on a mountainside and sat down. Great crowds came to him, bringing the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute, and many others, and laid them at his feet, and he healed them. The people were amazed when they saw the mute speaking, the crippled made well, the lame walking, and the blind seeing. And they praise the God of Israel. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, I have compassion for these people. They have already been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. I do not want to send them away hungry, or they may collapse on the way. His disciples answered, where can we get enough bread in this remote place to feed such a crowd? How many loaves do you have? Jesus asked. 7, they replied, and a few small fish. He told the crowd to sit down on the ground. Then he took the 7 loaves and the fish, and when he had given thanks, he broke them and gave them to the disciples, and they in turn to the people. They all ate and were satisfied. Afterward, the disciples picked up 7 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. The number of those who ate was 4,000 men, besides women and children. After Jesus had sent the crowd away, he got into the boat and went to the vicinity of Magadan. We see here this story. Most of us are very familiar with this story. We've probably read it before. And we see this miracle. We see this amazing thing where the disciples say, hey, we just got a few loaves of bread here and some small fish. Not much. Certainly not enough that's going to be able to feed 4,000 grown men and all of their families that were around them. And Jesus somehow makes it more than enough. They were all satisfied. But before we even get to that, look at what happens before. We see that Jesus says, I have compassion for these people. I have compassion for the fact that they've been following me for 3 days. They haven't had anything to eat. Let's just take a minute. Jesus says, okay, let's just stop for a minute, you know, and I'm guilty of charge. I do this all the time. I'll be so busy working and so busy into what I'm doing that sometimes you forget to eat. Sometimes you just say, oh, man, you know what? Wow, it's 3 o'clock. I haven't had anything. Man, I've blown past lunch. It's getting close to dinner time. I need to get a snack or something. I need to do something. And it's important that we look at this passage here and understand from the standpoint of faith what Jesus is doing here. He's showing not only in the fact that he's powerful enough and capable to heal people who are blind and crippled and lame, people who can't talk, can't see. Jesus did a lot of these miracles, but what's important for us to understand is that Jesus didn't just go out here and show his power in how he was demonstrating the fact that he could heal. But also what we see here is the power of compassion. We see that Jesus didn't just say, look, you couldn't talk when you got here. Now you can talk. And this person was, you know, they brought them in on the stretcher. Now they can walk. Isn't that enough for you? Isn't that enough? No, he had compassion. Very often, what we have to remember in our walk with God is that sometimes when we're in the process of demonstrating and doing actions that are consistent with living like Christ, we have to start with our heart. See, they were very limited here. And I bring this up about being limited because I was thinking about the holidays and the fact that, you know, my wife and I were talking about what we're going to do with the kids and, you know, how we're going to, you know, are we going to do virtual Christmas with the family? And again, it can almost seem depressing. It can almost seem like it's overwhelming because it's going to be sad or it's not going to be what we want or we're going to miss our family. And yet there's an opportunity in this limitation that we're going to have. There's an opportunity, you might say, behind the mask because we're all wearing these masks. COVID-19, 2020 has presented a lot of problems, a lot of things that have maybe caused us to get down, and yet there's an opportunity, but it starts with us having compassion. That faith that was built not only by Jesus' healing, but by the fact that he fed all those. Because think about it. Maybe you showed up and you didn't have anybody who was lame or blind or sick. You might have just been there because you didn't have anything else to do. But you were hungry. You know, in the announcements, we were talking about how Jennifer's going to have the food baskets ready next Sunday. You know, we've talked about this before. See, for us, it's just Thanksgiving, you know, dinner. It's just sitting around with family. It's the fact that we're maybe going to miss out on some of the stuff that we would normally do. And yet, for other people, it's everything. It's a huge deal. It's not just, man, you know, cousin such and such not going to come bring taste out. No, the idea that you have an opportunity to actually serve, to actually change somebody's life in the same way Jesus did. But do you have the compassion in your heart? Or are you only thinking about yourself? Is it only about you, or is it about the fact that this is an opportunity for God to be glorified? As Christians, our faith has to be big enough to see past our capacity and recognize the need. See, the disciples, they're saying, how are we going to do this? We're out here, and notice where it says remote. What he's saying in 2020 terms is, we're not even, the nearest food line is 20 miles away, Jesus. We can't just run down to the store and grab something for all these people to eat. We got a problem here. Our capacity is limited. There's only so much we can do. Just like each and every one of us. In our own humanity, there's only so much that we are able to do. But God can make it enough if you have the compassion and the faith that you're willing to place in him. This is also fast approaching this time of year. This is Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. This is the cast of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. I grew up on this, and let me just say this right now. I was okay. I got over the Charlie Brown Halloween thing where they didn't do the Great Pumpkin. This is not acceptable, okay? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer that get played, there's going to be some problems. I will personally go to D.C. We're going to have a congressional meeting or something. But Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, it's about that time. I think Freeform is the name of it. Doing the whole, like, they started early. It used to be 31 days of Christmas. Now they're starting now. It's like everything. They just, as soon as Halloween's over, they're putting out, and my wife, she's clapping. She loves it. Holiday movies, all kinds of Christmas stuff. But I highlight Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer not only because it's my favorite, but because there was this interesting little portion of the show where you see the Island of Misfit Toys. You might remember the Island of Misfit Toys train with wheels that were blocks and, you know, all kinds of stuff, spotted elephants. All just these toys that were seemingly rejected. They were seemingly useless. They were kind of, it was this island where it's like, you know, we just throw these away. Because what? No kid could ever truly want any of these toys. They weren't useful. They weren't going to cheer anybody up. They weren't going to make anybody happy. And so Rudolph discovers this, because he felt like a misfit himself. Sometimes, right, we feel like misfits. Sometimes we feel powerless. Sometimes we feel like we just can't do anything to change our circumstances. Like I said earlier, you know, sometimes we have to be honest and admit that we are disappointed in our faith. Because just when we're disappointed in our faith, just when we feel like we just don't have much, that's when God shows up. But we have to be willing to have that kind of faith to say, you know what, even though I may be useless, even though the world may not see much benefit in this thing that I do, or they only see my limitations or what I'm doing wrong, God can be glorified. How are we going to use this upcoming holiday season? How are we going to use this downtime? How are we going to use the opportunity to maybe not sit in front of our family, but maybe have to talk to them on the phone or talk to them through a Zoom meeting? Do we only see our limitations in what we don't have, the distance between, or do we truly understand that God is bigger than all these things? And frankly, he likes it. He likes to show up when we're the most limited. We'll finish here in Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. Another fish story. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. Notice when it says there that the boats were at the water's edge and washing their nets. That means the day is done. It's over. They're cleaning their nets. They're saying, you know, it's like they're picking up their tools and they're saying, we're finished here for the day. Continuing, he says, he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. Let's pause here for a second. What's happening here? Jesus says, hey, I know you're the expert fisherman, and I know you've been at this all day, and I know you haven't caught anything. I know this isn't working, but go ahead and go out and let down your nets for a catch. Simon's response here is where we all have to really ask ourselves about not only this moment that we're in 2020, but maybe where you are in your own life, even beyond that. Maybe where you've been for years, where everything you've tried and everything you've been doing and everything that you've put into and invested into overcoming, it hasn't worked. His response was, because you say so, I will let down the nets. When they had done so, continuing, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled the partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. We see how this all works out where, wow, this amazing catch of fish. And prior to this, they had nothing. Nothing worked. And it wasn't for competence or lack of understanding or a lack of skills or lack of materials or resources. Let's face it. Sometimes in our walk with God, those of us who've been at this for years, we want to be fishers of men. We want to go out. We want to share our faith with people. We want to make disciples. We want to bring others to Christ. And we've been at it. We've been doing it. We've been praying for people. We've been talking to people. We've been inviting them to church. And we've been asking them to come to Ladies' Day. And we've asked them to be a part of our Bible discussions. And we've talked to them during our break times of work. We've done all these things, and nothing has worked. But just like we saw where Jesus had compassion on those people, that he demonstrated his compassion by feeding those thousands of men and women and children. And just like we see here, they had been doing this to the point where they had just given up for the day. Jesus says, no, go out and try it again. Go out and do it one more time. But they were defeated. They were frustrated. They were failing. They hadn't caught anything. It wasn't working, Jesus. It would have been more than reasonable for them to respond with, you know, Simon just said, look, I get it, Jesus. You're great. You're all these wonderful things. And I've heard about you, but I'm tired. It's the end of the day. I don't even know if I can get anybody else to help me because they're already gone. His response was, because you say so. When we think about this holiday season that's upcoming, the conversations that you're going to have with your family, you know, the son or the cousin or the brother or the mother or the friend who you've talked to about their relationship with God for years. Are you going to avoid it this time? Are you going to say, you know what? No, it's not working. Later on, and we're not going to, in the interest of time, we're not going to go through this. Later on, Jesus would come back to them. This is much later. And they didn't recognize that it was Jesus. And he says, cast your nets on the other side. And they're kind of like, what sense does that make? It's the same water. It's the same boat. What difference is one side of the boat from the other? He says, cast your nets on the other side. And when they did, they brought in this amazing amount of fish. And then they remembered this situation. And then they understood that it wasn't about the nets or the boat or the time of day. It was about their faith. Do you have the faith in Christ to be able to say, because you say so, I'll do it? This could be totally different because you're thinking, well, yeah, but we're not even going to be able to sit down and have this conversation in person. And that's kind of how I would like it. And sometimes we can get so caught up on our abilities, our skills, our resources, the things that are in front of us, the way that we've always done it, that we can lose sight of the fact that God's saying, but I want you to remember that when it does happen, when your cousin or your brother or your friend or your mother, when they do come and accept Christ, when they do get baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, it's not going to be because of you. It's not because of how great you are, because of how eloquent you spoke, or because of all the scriptures you memorized. But God wants to use your faith to change the world. God's ability to move powerfully in our lives is limited by our faith, not our conditions. Nobody in their right mind thinks that these upcoming holidays are going to be optimal conditions to hang out with family and friends on our time off, our downtime, and talk to them about God. Our brother Frank is here, you know, and I know Marco shared this a little bit briefly a few weeks ago when Frank got baptized, but you know, it's interesting. You think about optimal conditions. You can't get less optimal conditions to find Jesus than Frank had. Frank, mind his own business, talking to a friend of his from a long time ago. Frank's risen from the Dominican, so he's talking to his friend. And his friend tells him, hey, you know what? You need to go to church. You need to study the Bible. You need to become a Christian. And this friend in the Dominican, Frank is in Delaware, right? So you don't have to know geography that well to know the Dominican's kind of far away. So some people from the Dominican knew some Christians in New York, and they said, hey, why don't we start studying the Bible a little bit for a Zoom conversation? And so Frank is logging in on Zoom, and they're, you know, studying the Bible. And then those friends knew somebody in Delaware. But, you know, and you know, the world thinks that Delaware is like this little itty-bitty place. No, actually, it's bigger than you think, okay? And so they knew this person in Delaware, and they figured, oh, well, he must be close. Well, it was Marcos, and Marcos is a long way away. He's up in Wilmington, right? But Marcos is then, you know, involved in studying the Bible and showing Frank what it means to be a Christian. And then Marcos is like, yeah, but this is kind of far away. Why don't we get a little closer? And so he calls me up, and he says, hey, you know this guy Frank, he's studying the Bible. And so we're studying the Bible with Frank on Zoom. And then eventually we get together and we meet in person. We're all, you know, 6 feet apart, got masks on, stuff like that, you know. But the point is, see, Frank's in Magnolia. So Dover, Magnolia, is a little bit closer. But here's the point in all this. Not to think about Frank being in Magnolia and me being in Dover and all this. You see how that chain works? See how all that went? It started with somebody in the Dominican who Frank knew who had enough faith to speak up. Frank, you're a great guy. I love you. You're wonderful. But I want you to have a relationship with God. And I don't know how this is going to happen because I can't help you. I can't do anything from the Dominican. But somebody can. And then that somebody can. And then we can do it through the internet. Most everybody who's listening to me right now is watching me through the internet. Is your faith limiting you from being able to see God work? Because let's God doesn't need your smiling face and personality. He needs your faith to move. We most of us know the story of Jesus and how it says He can only do a couple of little things, heal a couple of little things in his hometown. Why? Because nobody believed in him there. Nobody had faith in him there. Do we have the faith to do great things during this upcoming holiday season? Or will we allow our circumstances and our conditions and our environment and our limitations to stop us from saying, but because you say so, I'm willing to move? A few questions we'll close with. Do I make decisions based on calculus or compassion? How many of my decisions are predicated on past results? Now, I combine those together because when I say calculus versus compassion, a lot of times we're driven by, well, does this make sense, or does this add up, or do I have enough? Instead of seeing the need, saying, God, help me to meet the need. Help me by making it enough. I add that about past results because sometimes if it hadn't worked in the past, we just won't try it again. We'll see somebody in need. We'll see somebody that needs food. We'll see somebody that's hungry. We'll see somebody who is stressed out. We'll see somebody in a bad situation, and yet we replay the tapes, and we remember how we failed in the past. Yeah, I've talked to people. I've studied the Bible with people. I've shared my faith with people. I've reached out to people. I've prayed for people. I've done it in the past, and the outcome wasn't favorable. And so we stop. Don't. And I'm not just talking about persistence. I'm saying we lose sight of the fact that God has his timing. That God may be compelling you to do something now for a totally different reason than even you have in mind. How many of my decisions are predicated on past results? How do we overcome the past to say, because you say so this time, Jesus, I'll do it? How can I meet the needs of those that are hungry around me through faith rather than function? I say this about faith rather than function because, like we're talking about with the food baskets, yes, it's important that we give people food. People are hungry. That is a basic need. Jesus saw that people needed food. You have to eat. Your attention span is just, it's hurt when you're hungry. A friend of mine once told me, he said, you know, people have a difficult time listening to the message when their stomach's growling. So, yes, Jesus understood that he had to meet the need of these people who were following him for days that were hungry, but he didn't meet the need just by food. He met the need by faith. We have to have a faith that says, I don't know exactly how I'm going to be able to do this because I can't do what I normally used to do. I'm limited. I don't have as much. Things are different in 2020. Is your faith different? Is your faith stronger? You know, I shared that story about Frank, not to put him on the spot, but let's be honest. How many of us would have even tried it? How many of us would have even went through all the pains and all the efforts to find somebody that says, even if I can't reach this man all the way in another country, I will find someone who can? How many of us look at the function and well, this is how we do ministry, and this is how we're supposed to go about these things, and say, and this Zoom just doesn't feel right. It just doesn't feel authentic. It just doesn't feel personal. And then we don't. How many of our cousins, uncles, and brothers, and friends, frankly, they may respond better if we reach out to them, share our faith with them, study the Bible with them through the internet. Will your faith allow for such a thing? In what unsuccessful area of my life is Jesus urging me to cast a net on the other side? Am I experiencing faith fatigue in a way that is preventing me from seeing God's glory? I use that term faith fatigue because, let's face it, sometimes, like I said before, that's how it feels. It's like I'm fatigued. I'm tired. We go through that now. People, they were talking about in different states how the cases that are rising to this alarming rate of COVID-19, a lot of it is just because people are just tired. They're tired of wearing masks. They're tired of not being able to hang around their families. I haven't seen grandma in 6-7 months. I'm just going over there, and we're going to talk, and we're going to be fine. And they're asymptomatic, and then they give it to grandma because they're tired, because they're worn out. They just can't, you know, sick of being in the house, sick of not being able to do what they want to do. They get fatigued with all the restrictions. Some of us, we have that faith fatigue, and Jesus is saying, no, let's cast out in the deep water. You're going to catch something this time. And we're saying, Jesus, but I'm tired. I've been praying for this person. I've been trying to work this situation out in my relationship with my wife or my husband or my children. I've been dealing with this for years, and it's just not getting better. I'm tired, Jesus. We've been unsuccessful. We're experiencing that faith fatigue. And yet, he's saying, go out one more time. Cast your nets out one more time. Throw it on the other side one more time. How many of us are going to walk away from this and say, you know what? Yes, I'm tired. Yes, I can admit it. And ask each other to pray for one another, because we are so fatigued in our faith. It has taken a toll on us. But how many of us are going to walk away from this and say, but because you say so, Jesus, I'm going to talk to my son again. I'm going to talk to my sister again. I'm going to reach out to my coworker or my neighbor again. I'm going to reconcile and repair that relationship with my brother or my sister, even though I've gone to them so many times and it never seems to work out. Because you say so, I'm not going to let the fatigue stop me from seeing your glory. And finally, am I incapable of recognizing Jesus when he's calling me to do things that are considered unconventional? You know, I made reference to the fact that, you know, you'll see this here where the disciples, they're kind of like, oh my gosh, you truly are the Lord. You're the one who's being sent. See, the context of this is they had heard about Jesus, but some people were just kind of on the fence, didn't quite know. See, the same thing repeated later after Jesus had come back after being crucified. Sometimes we don't always recognize Jesus until we see something that looks familiar. We have to be willing to say, I'm going to do this thing even though I'm fatigued, even though I'm tired, even though it's not working, even though it's unconventional, because that's when we can truly see that it was God. That's when it truly makes itself clear. Am I incapable of recognizing Jesus? Sometimes we look at our circumstances and we can forget that, you know what? COVID-19 was one big old setup. One big old setup for the church. One big old setup for all of us who are Christians, who've been following Jesus. It's a setup. Because for all the reasons we could be down, feel defeated, be tired, be annoyed, being in the car traveling. I'm going to be honest with you, that's one of the reasons why I'm grateful I'm not going to be traveling this year. I get sick of being in the car that long. And then I got to listen to Radio Disney and stuff because the kids don't want to listen to oldies. It gets to be exhausting, you know, all driving 9 hours and 10 hours and going all over the place, and then somebody wants to stop and use the bathroom or get a drink. Like, it gets exhausting. Sometimes we get to that place. We're in that place now, many of us. We are exhausted. We're tired. We're not even just tired of wearing masks. We're tired of even talking about wearing masks. Like, the fact that I just said wearing masks made some of you itch. Like, it just bothered you, right? You're sick of it. We're in that place. All of us are in that place. And yet, this is exactly where God wants us to be. Because he wants us to rely on him. He wants us to see him in the situation. How amazing would it be if, over the next couple months, during the holidays, several people decide they want to become followers of Christ, and they get baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. And we think, man, where did all that growth come from? And how on earth could that happen during COVID-19? There's barely anybody even here. But that's how amazing your God is. That's how unbound and unlimited and frankly unconventional your God is. He's not limited by the coronavirus. He's not limited by social distancing. The one thing he is limited by, demonstrated throughout the Bible, is by your faith. Where is your faith today? Do you believe all these fish stories? Do you truly understand these fish stories? And that, frankly, you're a fish story waiting to happen. You're an amazing story of faith waiting to happen. Just like Frank. That God wants to use you in that same way, despite all of the things that could be in the way. But he's waiting on you to say, because you say so, I will.